All right, welcome to another episode of the R. Bill Simmons podcast. I am Tribe here, and I am with two members of the pod. We have done this months ago, original three-man weave of the R. Bill Simmons podcast, the evolutionary Rick Bucher and Steiny Moe. I am here with Pop and Bob Weir. What's going on, guys?
What's up?
All right, so let me introduce these guys for the audience, for people who haven't heard them. We got Bob Weir here, who obviously, you know where his allegiances lie. He's been on the sub for a very long time. He gets into some AI debates sometimes with some well-known members of the sub. And I think are you going to reveal what you're doing business as now as a member of the sub, or are you going to keep that secret?
I'll put this out there. I am back on the sub. I've been posting on the sub for a few months now. It is up to you all to figure out who I am. How about that?
Bob Weir is back, and he's better than ever. So, yes, his new name is not Bob Weir, but we will call him Bob Weir for this episode. And then we have Pop of Pop and Jay, who you all know and love on the sub. Yeah, I would say you're one of the... You have universal positivity, I think. People love
you. Really?
I mean, at least compared to me.
Well, I wanted to add one funny anecdote, and this isn't outing Bob's new handle, but we're looking for new members for a fantasy league, and I actually messaged Bob. I don't know if you know this, Tribe. I messaged him and said, hey, I like this guy. Like, he's pretty funny. Well, we should invite him. And Bob's like, that's me.
Yeah, and there's some potentially some other funny messages that have gone on with Bob and whatnot. But yes, if you think you know who Bob is, feel free to message that account. But ultimately we had to do this for a variety of reasons. But Bob, you messaged me. You were hyped to do a pod. You were not joking around about that. And you wanted to do a pod about Bill and about Russillo. So why don't we start there? Why don't we do a Russillo-Bill season wrap-up? What were your thoughts on how that kind of season of the Russillo-Bill pods ended?
Yeah, I'll jump in right now. Say that it was an interesting season. I think we talked about it. You know, the last time we talked was probably when they had just started doing their pods. For the year, you know, when they usually go, what, like right after All-Star break, and then they pod through, I guess, what, most like the thick of the off-season.
Yeah.
And I think one theme that we had talked about, and at least it seemed like people were talking about on the sub too, it really felt like Bill had finally learned Ryan's humor a bit. I don't know, did y'all gather that?
Yeah, and Bill even kind of mentioned sometimes, like, he'll laugh at like his like little one-line jokes. He'll just name some random person, like random athlete, and go like Ryan Hollins, like and Bill actually acknowledged it a few times.
Yeah,
which he hadn't before.
Or he'll even like make the Ryan's joke for him. I'm like, I think he's gonna be picking up that one, right? Like,
yeah,
with the contracts, it felt like this year was the year that, yeah, Bill finally kind of picked up on Ryan's humor. And I do think Ryan was a little bit flabbergasted at first. I don't know. It seemed like he was, he didn't quite know how to handle it, I felt like. It's like, you know, whenever you're in high school and there's like that one guy that you always pick on a little bit. And then one summer, you know, everyone goes away for the summer and then you come back to school and all of a sudden that person's got a few barbs of their own and they can throw a punch of their own. Like it kind of felt like that a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely picked up on that dynamic.
Yeah. It but I will say, I in preparation today, I went back and listened to just random like 20-minute clips of a few other pods.
We love that on the podcast. When the guests come on and re-listen to some of the past episodes, that's just beautiful. So kudos, Bob Weir.
Thank you. I did my homework this time.
And this is a very important podcast, so.
Yeah. I will say, it did seem, when I went back and re-listened to some of the ones that were kind of around maybe the Western Conference Finals, maybe around the NBA Finals, I do think that Ryan seemed to get better. Like, it seemed like he understood the dynamic, how the dynamic changed a little bit better. And I do think that a lot of the chemistry issues really seemed to me like they mostly dissipated by the time we got to like free agency or the draft. So I thought that was interesting about their kind of evolving dynamic throughout the year. I don't know if y'all had felt differently, similarly, or what.
Yeah, my take was that I think part of the issue, and when we were having these discussions on this pod and in the sub kind of late April and in May, that's the end of the regular season. What storylines have not been covered to that point? I mean, you have Bill talking NBA MVP and trades starting day one of the season. So there's really nothing to there's nothing else to say for those final 2 weeks. But immediately once the playoffs start, of course, there's all these storylines popping up everywhere. And then I think with I remember listening to that, to their pods, that they're basically only reacting to Celtics games. And of course, that's going to be great because Bill's going to come in with the homer perspective and Ryan's going to try to kind of walk him off the ledge. So I felt like part of the chemistry issue resolved itself through just better storylines to talk about. Maybe a recommendation I'd have for those guys, we don't need, maybe the last month of the regular season, you do every other week and you say, hey, I'm prepping for, you could use Bill's line of, he's prepping for the NFL season, he has to take a break. You're prepping for the playoffs, you're not doing as much, because that was really when people were having an issue with it. I do think part of it could definitely be what you said in the chemistry coming together in a different way and Ryan kind of vibing with them. Because ultimately with Ryan, he's like, this is a big deal for him to make these pods work. I did some preparation in general for the R. Bill Simmons podcast, not this one in particular necessarily, but I was listening to Ryan talk with Jimmy Traina, another sports media guy, on when he first joined Bill and the Ringer. And he was pumped to join Bill. He's like, I love what Bill's doing there. Me being on his podcast is going to get me some exposure. So, and that was 2019. So maybe their first pods were great together. They get to the pandemic. Obviously, it's a little bit different talking on screen. So maybe some of the chemistry issues we saw this season was just, you know, it's 3 years in. They're still doing Zoom ones. They're not in person. They're doing the same NBA storylines. Maybe Russillo thought he would have more success as a writer by now, hasn't. So maybe some of that is coming out. But then the playoffs is like a quick fix. Boom. We got tons of stuff to talk about, and now we're vibing again.
Yeah, I have kind of a different take. I kind of feel like Ryan, started becoming very dismissive of Bill on these pods because he just watches. I think he's a much more serious basketball watcher. It does, and not that that's better, good or bad, but he puts so much more work into it. And you could tell by the way he talks about the game and different teams and different players. And, you know, people make fun of him about like when Russillo gets into X's and O's, but I actually think he's pretty good with that. Cause I started listening to Russillo first when he used to do the NBA Today pods and he'd do Tales from the Couch then. And I freaking loved it. Like I thought it was so good. And I don't know if there's really room for that now with, you know, with how the league is covered today, but they just talk about the game so differently and it just doesn't seem like it completely matches up sometimes. And they just need to lean more into like their characters. Like Bill's wacky, Ryan's more reasonable and level-headed. And they just need to lean more into that. And I think they both get wrapped into like Bill's old like maxims of who won this scene, you know, like it almost feels like they're trying to win the pod.
Well, here's it does almost feel a little bit like Bill maybe was a little bit jealous of the fact that Ryan gets to be the more like analytical one. And maybe Bill came in this year and was like, okay, you know, I'm going to be the smart guy for a little bit. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Now, then here's a question for you guys. Do you think the chemistry issues have been solved, or do you think Bill should have a different NBA weekly guest next year?
I think you should mix it up. I mean, I miss when he used to have like Mark Stein and who else? He had Haberstroh a few times. Who are some of the other NBA guests he'd have? I'm drawing a blank, but I just don't know how reasonable that is with them not being on the Ringer, or if he's just trying to stick with like mostly Ringer people, because even when he has KOC or when he has Mahoney, like, they're just kind of yes men. I don't know. I like when he has Walls on. I mean, he's like one of my favorites, so I'm biased there. But I wouldn't mind if it was, you know, they had a rotation and like Ryan was maybe the main guy, but not every weekend.
Or why not have Bill, Ryan, and Walls on a pod, right? Like, yeah. Why not have the third person pop in from time to time to kind of change that dynamic a bit, right?
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. And it would take away some of the tension between Bill and Ryan, mm-hmm. which I don't know if you agree with me that there's tension, but I definitely think there's a little bit of tension there.
I think there's definitely tension. Like I said earlier, I think the tension was starting to get relieved a little bit as the season went on. But yes, I definitely think there's seems to be more tension this year as a whole than there were in years past.
I also think Bill doesn't really like the three man as much anymore, because then usually the two people gang up on Bill and tease him a lot. Bill becomes the butt of a lot of the jokes. Just that's this kind of natural order of things. Have you noticed that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah. Like especially like House, especially if it's House and Ryan, then it's
Yeah, because House could finally, because you can't really make fun of someone when you're one-on-one as well as you can when you have another guy there to kind of jump in with you. To hold, like, 3 and 2 is like worlds apart in dynamics.
Absolutely.
That's true. As we do with three-man weave. But this is important. This is very important to have this three-man weave. And we can handle it. Unlike Bill, we don't know each other, but we can handle it. But yeah, no, speaking of that, I think with I'm looking at it from the business perspective, and there's comments that Rosillo and Bill, when they did their second to last pod, you know, I forget who it was, but one of them was like, oh yeah, how many of these are we doing? So there's a business component where if you're Rosillo, there's a certain level of, okay, you're doing your pod 3 times a week, and he was actually doing a pod twice a week at ESPN. So part of his Ringer deal, I realize going back, he expanded one podcast a week, and he is one of the top sports podcasters, right? But he's been getting a lot of benefit doing Bill's pod because it's able to grow his brand. Has he grown the brand enough? Does he actually need to be on Bill's pod as much anymore? Because that's a lot of work for him too, right? So he's doing 3 pods a week himself and now does Bill's pod during the regular season and playoffs. And it's not like Rosillo, I don't think he mails it in as much as Bill does. He's certainly not Rosillo's expiring contract. He's having on sports media people. He's having on authors. He's having on players and coaches. He's having on way bigger variety of guests than Bill ever does nowadays. So he's putting in some serious work to his pod. He's doing life advice, whether people like that or not. So if I'm Rosillo, like I'm almost wondering if I even need to be doing these pods with Bill. I don't know whether it's in the contract or not. Who knows how that happens? But I kind of wonder, like, is there going to be a natural breaking point where Bill thinks the chemistry is off, Rosillo doesn't need it as much for his pod, and so maybe they just don't do as many in general for next year?
You know, I think during when they did the week, when Rosillo does the Sunday pods, doesn't he only do 2 a week? 2 of his own pods a week when he does that instead of 3?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, then that could be even more reason for him to get back doing 3 pods a week and get more revenue for himself.
Oh, does he – is what do you mean by revenue?
Well, yeah, I guess it depends on the contracts. I'm guessing that he gets a – or you think he might have a flat fee in terms of his contract as opposed to he gets benefits if his pod does well?
Well, I think I have no idea. I was just guessing that it's 3 pods a week, whether those are 3 Rosillo pods or 2 Rosillo pods and 1 Bill pod.
I think it's that. Yeah, it's because I think he does. Doesn't he do Monday, Wednesday, Friday during the football season, and then during basketball he'll do Tuesday. Or during the NBA season, he'll do Tuesday and Thursday with plus Bill.
You know, I think within the Ringer, I mean, Bill is the Ringer. I mean, Bill within this podcast sports world, like he's probably still the number one guy. And I think people in the within the Ringer who aren't on Bill's pod are probably jealous of the people who are. So I think that's kind of like he's kind of staked out ground. I don't think he'd want to give that up. As much as Ryan would, you know, like to think he's on Bill's level, he knows he's not popularity wise, but skill wise or podcasting wise or what have you, it's still a feather in his cap to be for Bill to tap him to be his guy during the most important part of the basketball season. There's a certain prestige to that, I think, that anyone else in the ringer would love to be in that position. So I don't think, and I think Ryan realizes that, and he won't want to give that up.
You know, that is a good point from Bill's perspective, because even KOC and Mahoney, you know, people like those guys, but that is not a Russillopod. And I bet you that the Russillopods do get higher listens than what KOC or Mahoney would get on Bill's pod.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know exactly, but I'd guess that, yeah.
Okay, now here's an interesting angle for you guys then. So Russillo, he re-upped with Spotify. So he joined them in 2019, and I believe earlier this year there were articles out that he it's late 2022. I'm pulling it up now. This is deadline late 22. The Ringer's Ryan Russillo eyes scripted TV move as he strikes new podcast deal and signs with United Talent Agency. But here's the question, though. Russillo is now signed long-term doing podcasting. When is Bill's contract coming up? And we can kind of segue into the future of Spotify here if we want for Bill, but what happens if Ryan is signed at The Ringer, Spotify, whatever you want to call it, for the next 4 years? Does that mean that Bill is more likely to continue on at Spotify because he's got his buddy and he's got a lot of other people there? Or is Bill legitimately a free agent next year or whenever his contract's up?
Oh, wow. I you know what? Like, all the business angle stuff, I don't know much about all that. I don't know. So I'm going to trust your opinion on this. Or Bob, if you have anything to add.
I'm kind of in the same boat as you, Pop. I don't really follow that aspect of it so much. I do wonder what motivation Bill has to... I mean, I know he could go independent, right? And, you know, kind of do what he did at The Ringer again, maybe. But I don't know, do you think he really has it in him to want to do that again? Even aside from the Russillo factor? Let's say for a second the Russillo isn't on it, some sort of, you know, 4-year extended deal with Spotify. Do you think Bill would be hankering to leave by now?
I think it depends on how much Spotify is going to pay him versus what he thinks he's worth. Because, this expands in my idea that I don't think building a podcast stable is that great of a business. Because ultimately, if you're paying for someone's podcast, you should be paying them more than they would get on their own, or they'll just go somewhere else. And I think that's part of why Bill's lost a lot of people at The Ringer. Because they're just like, I'll make more money somewhere else. Why am I giving some of my money to The Ringer? I think this is why JJ Redick left. I think wasn't CC Sabathia doing a podcast at The Ringer, and now he's not there. So yeah. There's a thought that if Bill thinks that Spotify's lowballing him, he will move. But yeah, I totally agree with Russillo being there would be somewhat important to him, and also like his guy, his rewatchables guy, CR. Fantasy, Mallory, like those people at The Ringer, if their contracts line up with Bill's, then yeah, maybe they all go out together. And then that'd be kind of funny if Russillo's left that Spotify without Bill. But if the contracts all line up, they'll go out together and they could do something new if Bill thinks that he wants to put in the time and whatnot. But yeah, from what you guys said, it might make sense. And especially if like the kids are, he wants to visit the kids more. Ben's still in high school for a couple more years. Maybe he does just re-up with Spotify for a couple more years, and he could make more money later if he goes out on his own. But maybe he just kind of he signed a short-term deal, right? He signs a he signs the NBA equivalent of like a 2-year, $90 million deal, and then he tries something else in a couple years.
Yeah, I was gonna say Bill sees everything through the lens of like sports, especially the NBA, and he always harps on like loyalty and like teammates being together forever. And I think the whole CR, Fantasy, Mallory piece of it is way more important to him than Russillo. Russillo's kind of just like a hired hand. I mean, he's friends with him, but not like those guys. Russillo's not really part of the Ringer business. And like those guys, like they're kind of, you know, they're the foundation. Like they got paid out too, right? When they sold to Spotify. So I think, I mean, we're all hypocrites, especially when money's involved. But I think Bill puts a lot of value in the relationship and the team that like built The Ringer, that came from Grantland and kind of sticking with them through the end. And I don't think once your opinion's important to like the, you know, to the public, that's a hard thing to give up. And by all indications, I don't think he's ever going to give that up until he's dead. Like his ego needs to be able to put out his sports thoughts like a couple times a week all year. So that's where I think it stands.
Well, and he also has some sort of, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't, like I said, I don't really follow these details too much, but he has some kind of decision-making capacity at Spotify, right? Like,
somewhat, don't totally know.
Yeah. All right.
Fair. Yeah. He's got some nice titles, that's for sure. And he was on a Zoom call with Prince Harry. So he's got some sort of responsibility.
That fucking grifter?
God, that aggregation was incredible. I mean, he's still getting aggregated for those comments. People still bring that up on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, funny enough, you say all of that, Pop, because when I went back and listened to some of the old pods today, there was a ZipRecruiter ad that Bill read where he compared everyone at the Ringer, especially all those names you mentioned there, to the Golden State Warriors.
And you know, I think that's where I got that, too.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. One thing about the Bill and Ryan pods this year that I also noticed that I thought was interesting, Bill has been kind of pro Lakers lately. Have y'all noticed?
You think so? I don't think so.
He like, it seemed like he was very in on them, and I feel like he really thought that they were almost legitimate contenders this year. And I don't, were a lot of people in the NBA media like high on the Lakers, even
Brian Windhorst was.
Okay.
Yeah. And once, and like the, what, after they did all those trades, like they're a markedly different team. Like they were much better. And I definitely, like as a Warriors fan, I was like scared of them and I knew they were going to lose to them. So I don't know. I think Bill still hates the Lakers, but had to begrudgingly like admit that, like, yeah, they're pretty good though. They figured it out.
Yeah. I guess I should have clarified. I don't think he likes the Lakers now.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, but I just think he was very, I don't know, he just seems like he would never miss an opportunity to shit on the Lakers. And the fact that they were in the play-in game and, you know, they underachieved kind of at least in the first two-thirds of the regular season. You know, you see, I feel like I normally in past Bill wouldn't have, you know, changed turned around 180 in the playoffs on them like that.
That's true.
Well, and wasn't there, I thought either it was a tweet or in a podcast where Bill said that Denver series actually was pretty close. Like the Lakers didn't lose by that much.
Yeah, everyone keeps saying that. It's the closest sweep in NBA playoff history, and now it's become kind of a joke. It's like, hang the banner.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, do we have anything more on Russillo, or should we move on to some Ringer talk?
Well, let me ask real quick, just real quick opinions like around the table. Do you guys like Russillo? Because the Subs' relationship to Russillo is so bizarre to me. Like, do you like him?
I like Russillo, definitely. I think he's like the funniest talking head in sports. And that dry sense of humor kind of what I find funny. So I do like Russillo, but I will say in the last year or two, I will say he's become a little bit more available. Like, there's some of his tendencies have started to I see what some other people are saying on the Sub, I guess, after, over the last year. But in general, yes, I like Russillo, and I think he's funny. And all of us have flaws, right? So I'm not going to just dislike him because he has flaws. I guess I'm just noticing more. That's all.
Right.
Yeah, I'm always kind of lukewarm in him. I've never listened to his pod that often. I might for an occasional guest here and there. I think he's fine in the Bill pods. I don't love him. I don't hate him. So I'm kind of medium on him.
Okay. I'm just curious.
There was one guy I used to work with years ago that was one of the funniest fucking dudes I've ever met in my life. And every time he just has the exact same sense of humor as Ryan. I don't know. I just really, really enjoy, like you were referencing earlier, the reference to one, you know, Ryan Hollins. Right after making a list of great NBA players. Or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think he's very funny and very smart. And just on a personal level, as someone who's like not too far off from his age, who's married with kids, like I find his lifestyle like so aspirational.
Yeah, yeah. That's one thing. I feel like people when people clown on him for being like single and stuff. That's
not
like,
no.
Okay.
Well, no, they don't get it.
Yeah,
like he's traveling like wherever he wants by himself, like doing his own thing, like has the setup at his house, watching all the games. Like I just respect that he's, you know, he's like, hey, I want to do my own thing. I don't want to compromise. Just leave me alone. I'm happy. Like I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
All right. So speaking of Russillo, who did you guys vote for in the Ringer bracket? This is a, so we're transitioning here. We're going to talk about how the R. Bill Simmons community, they had a March Madness style Ringer bracket with 64 personalities. And in the Elite Eight in one of the regions, number one seed, Ryan Russillo, number two seed, Joe House. Who wins? Joe House, only two seed who made it to the Final Four, all other one seed. So who'd you guys go for, Russillo or House?
So I was traveling basically that entire time that that bracket was going on. I don't think I voted once in that entire tournament.
All right, who would you vote for then?
I would probably pick Russillo. Yeah, in that one versus two regional, I think I would take Russillo over House. But that's probably, I'm looking at the bracket now, it's probably the toughest one. Chris Ryan versus Van is tough too, though.
Yeah, I used this analogy before, but House beating Russillo is like giving the MVP to Iguodala over Curry. Like, it, I like Joe House, but I mean, I guess it depends on what you're voting for. Like, some people said, I'm voting for who I'd most want to sit down and have a beer with, like, whatever that means. But just in terms of like importance to the Ringer and like talent, it has to be Russillo. And that's who I voted for. Even though I do really like House, like, that's not a knock on House at all. I like both of them a lot, but I voted Russillo.
Yeah, so then I guess it depends on what how you're voting. Yeah, because for me, as a longtime BS fan, I have to go House. I love House. Russillo is only a recent addition for me. But yes, if it is the Ringer, then Russillo does have a good claim on that. But House won. But then he, so this is what just kills me about this. Chris Ryan versus Bill Simmons. Not even the championship matchup, the Final Four matchup. Bill Simmons is beaten by Chris Ryan. So
I know.
So the CR heads, the CR is Chris Ryan, the CR heads, they flooded the sub, and Bill Simmons lost the R. Bill Simmons Ringer bracket on R. Bill Simmons. Unbelievable.
So I have a question about that. So what do you think the mechanism was there? I have two that I thought about as to why Chris Ryan won. One, Chris Ryan winning is the equivalent of like, you know, Peyton Hillis becoming the cover of that Madden like years ago, where I feel like a lot of people love Chris Ryan and he's funny, but it's almost like a meme to also love Chris Ryan. You
yes.
know?
It was driven by the CR heads.
Yeah. But the other mechanism I was thinking about, is it possible that the sub has more like movie fans at this point than sports fans? Like if we were, you know, obviously everyone exists on a gradient there, but for a second, let's assume it's binary. You can like one or the other. You think it's more movie guys now?
I think the rewatchables brings in a lot of fans. I think this is the biggest well for Bill Simmons' new fans. I even would put it above NBA because I think NBA people know Simmons by now. People that are 12 going to 14 listening to podcasts, right, could become a Bill Simmons fan. But in terms of new fans and a lot of his fanhood now, it's absolutely the rewatchables. People love that shit. I don't get it. I don't listen. I've talked about it in the pod before. I can have the conversation again now. But people eat up the rewatchables. And we, and I mean, all three of us, I'm sure, have been in movie conversations with people on the sub. People like talking about movies on that sub.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big rewatchables fan. And I like talking movies on the sub too. So, yeah. I mean, I voted for Bill. But I get it. I wasn't upset that Chris Ryan won.
Chris is, I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. Chris Ryan is hilarious. I think he definitely belonged in the Final Four.
Yes.
Maybe Van did too, but I mean, I guess there's a lot of good personalities at the Ringer. But yeah, I'm not shocked that he won. He is a funny guy. I laugh.
He's just so affable. I think that's the biggest thing. He's just gets along with everyone. He's good. He's instant chemistry. Like, he makes every podcast better. You know, he's just the ultimate glue guy.
Yeah. I was looking through this bracket. Like I said, I didn't participate because I was traveling the entire time, but it was Ned Frierson who was like running the whole thing.
Yep.
I did want to give a shout out to Ned because if you look at the seeds of this bracket and like how it played out, he must have done a really fucking good job with like how everyone was seeded, because this looks like a legitimate like March Madness breakdown that happened. Like 3-1 seeds and a 2 seed in the final four. Like you seeded them correctly.
Yeah, he did a really good job, but I think with things like this, the seeds kind of do a lot of the work for some people when they vote. I mean, maybe I'm wrong on that, but I feel like, you know, they're like, oh, well, if they're rated this high, I guess I'm going to vote for them.
I think you can make that argument with March Madness, too, though, that seeds do a lot of work for some of these teams.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, there's a couple. I think the biggest upset was Kevin O'Connor 3-seed going against producer Craig losing.
Yeah.
But I think that was the correct seed for KOC because he's a big contributor to the ring. He has his own show. He's on Bill's Pod a lot. I mean, this is the top NBA guy at the Ringer. He should be up there for sure.
It is fucking hilarious that they had KOC versus JJ Jaminski or whatever. How do you ever say that name? That's a great first round matchup.
And then this the Derek Thompson versus Schrager matchup, the 5-4.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a brutal matchup. Like, who the hell do you vote for? I think DT, I think I probably voted for him, Derek Thompson, and he ended up winning. But Schrager, integral part of the NFL season. And I got to say that I like guys who come on Bill's Pod that you can tell are fans of Bill. And this extends to, like, Mina Kimes does this when she comes on. And who's that other guy in Good Morning Football?
Kyle Brandt from the Real World.
Same thing that when he comes on, like, they're fans of Bill. So they like, get all the mannerisms and the jokes, and they're vibing with them. And, like, that whatever content you're providing, and I know some people don't love Schrager because of, a variety of things. Like, if you're bringing that vibe to the pod, like, I'm down for it. Like, I will listen to those. Because it's so fun when people are in that Bill Simmons universe and are totally like, they're happy to be on the Bill Simmons pod because of that.
Yeah, I don't like Schrager.
Well, Schrager could be listening. So I've interacted with Schrager multiple times now on Twitter. So, Schrags, if you're listening, keep up the good work. We love you. At least I do. And
he seems like a nice guy. Like, I just don't know if he's worthy of being Bill's, like, every week guest on the NFL pods. That's all. He's not worthy of that.
But he's not the number one guest, right? Sal is. So
he's still every week.
Kind of like a wonky $1 million picks guy, I think is okay.
Yeah, I guess so.
Has it always been Schrager who did $1 million picks with him? I thought it was someone else used to be.
Interesting.
No. Yeah,
Well, would you rather have it be like Solak or something? Solak was doing some of it last year, I thought.
Yeah, I know he's not very popular on the sub, but I like Solak.
Yeah, I feel like I'm fairly indifferent on him. How many did y'all know every single name on this thing?
No. I knew most of them, but like I'm looking right now. Peshua Hajiji. Do you know them?
No.
No.
Number 14 in the Midwest Regional. Huh. I don't know who that is. Pasha Hajiji?
I don't even know.
Mike Gioseffi is a 14 seed in the East Regional and in West Regional. I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, I don't know who that is either.
Pinocchio's dead.
I don't know anyone else. Yeah, I think those are the only two people I don't know.
Anytime I see the name C-Rat Sohi now, I can't unsee how Dupe spells it. Where it's like,
I know.
Is it Surat, the actual name?
Yeah. I knew of her before The Ringer, and I used to listen to podcasts with her. And I swear, she was so much better before she got to The Ringer. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I'm looking at Mahoney as a 6 seed, beat Juliet Littman. made the Sweet 16. Yeah, Mahoney's solid. Like I've been on record on the podcast account that I like Mahoney's vibe.
Me too. I think he's good. He does good on the TV podcast too. He does a few shows with Joanna, and he's pretty good.
Hmm. I don't think I've given him much of a chance. To be honest, are there any like? Is he on the NBA Countdown or something? Where should I listen to him?
What?
Just on Bill's pod when he comes on.
He does the group chat with Woz and Justin Verrier. That's his main pod.
Okay.
It's a basketball pod.
So that was the guy, Mahoney's, who you want to have take the Russillo spot, right, Tribe?
Yeah, I'm game for it. I don't know if he's ready to fill those shoes yet, but if you had to ask me who would replace it, I'm voting Mahoney.
I don't know if he has the personality for it. He doesn't have a big enough personality to hang with Bill, I don't think. I like him. That's not a knock against
him. That might be okay for Bill.
That would be okay for Bill. Yeah, exactly. But Mahoney does have like kind of a sarcastic tone to him, but it's very dry. And I hate to use this term, but just his voice and his vibe, he's a little effete. Like he's not as masculine as Russillo. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
It's kind of a hipster kind of vibe.
And it's not like Bill is already the most like masculine person. So
exactly. I that's why I think Russillo's good with him because, you know, Russillo's just, I don't know how masculine he is, but he puts on that, you know, that image with the deep voice and, you know, the weightlifting.
See, it's funny you say that because I definitely wouldn't call myself a hipster. But what I would say is I think if I was on a pod with Bill, I'd probably be more like Mahoney because what Mahoney does, which is so good, is when Bill makes like a stupid point and makes an absurd point, like Mahoney won't criticize him more for it, but he just goes, can you expand on that?
No, I like that too. You're right about that. You might be right. Mahoney might be the guy if Russillo was going to be replaced.
It's the perfect response to Bill because Bill obviously won't be able to expand on it, but he can't totally take that as an insult. So he just moves on.
That's a great call because that really does corner Bill. It's such a good move.
Yeah, so he says it a couple different ways, but like I noticed that.
Yeah.
That's so perfect.
Now you're right. It kind of calls his bluff essentially.
Yeah. It's not a good sign.
Bill's not holding much.
No.
It's never a great sign whenever explain yourself is a question that stumps you.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else beyond? I mean, yeah. I think you said it, Bob. But I totally agree with you. There's a lot of rewatchables influence in this bracket. There's a lot of them in the sub, and I think the big reason CR won because I was looking at the vote totals. The vote totals were significantly higher in the Bill versus CR matchup than the House versus Fennessy matchup.
Interesting.
Which means to me that all the CR heads got, you know, hyped up for it and came over and voted as much as they could for that mashup.
You know, looking at this, I'm surprised Amanda Dobbins got as far as she did.
Yeah, I think it's because she kind of had some cake matchups, right? Like,
well, Jacoby. Yeah. I mean, and well, she beat Jacoby and Andy Greenwald. I mean, that's pretty, I don't know. Those aren't cake matchups, I don't think.
Fair. Yeah, I guess I'm not super familiar with Andy Greenwald, so that might be.
Okay, I've been listening to The Watch since like the Grantland days when it was Hollywood Prospectus. So,
what would y'all? Okay, looking at this bracket, what would y'all's personal championship be?
I mean, it's got to be Simmons in the top spot, of course.
Against who, though?
I mean, House is up there. I think I would have had him over Russillo. Not that I'm recommending it, but like Wilds as a 12 seed was obnoxious to me. I voted Derek Thompson over Fennessy. I've been liking I like Thompson a lot on Bill's pods. I listen to Thompson's pods sometimes. The sub those up.
Huge Thompson guy myself too. Yeah, Tribe. Whenever they did that AI, I guess I'm playing into my own stereotype here, but they did that AI pod earlier in the year, and I've listened, I think, to every single Plain English since. So yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah, I might want to get you on with episode 18 and 26 guest, Richard Normal, I think is the Twitter name.
Okay.
That might be a fun AI discussion.
Yeah, that would be fun.
AI moderation, an AI debate. Actually, heck, maybe we could even throw Dale in if he wants to hop in on that one.
Maybe. Yeah. Get nice and heated.
We can talk about major things on the RBS podcast. But yeah, no, I think Wilds was underseeded. Thompson, Jacoby. I mean, I would have loved in a Jacoby Wilds Elite Eight matchup to get to the Final Four in the East Regional. Ooh. Would have been a banger for me.
Van has the arrow on Van has yes. been pointing up big time for me lately. Every single time I hear him on a podcast.
I think Van's great too. You know, a while back he put out there that he was meeting people at the at a Chatsworth Applebee's if anyone wanted to roll by and meet up and hang out. And I thought about it for a second because that's right in my neck of the woods. But I've even been to that Applebee's, but I was like, I'm too old for that.
Oh, dude, you should have done that. That would have made great content for the pod.
I know, I just talk
about it.
I can't. It's I thought about it and I thought about the anxiety of like, what if other people are there and I'm like sitting in the corner, like trying to get a word in edge. It's just weird. It's just a weird setup. I don't know.
It's one of those things where it's great in theory, but then once you roll, you're like,
what am I doing here?
Yeah. I don't necessarily
agree with that.
Really? You think it would have been a good time?
Well, I'm referencing I went to and I found this when I was living in New York City. There was a Survivor contestant that like sent out at like 4 o'clock one day, and the show's at 8 o'clock. That he was having a watch party for Survivor, and it was at a bar, but like. In those 4 hours, tons of people ended up showing up at the watch party. And yes, you had a common ground and there was something to watch. So maybe it's a little bit different, but I feel like these are super fans of people.
Yeah.
I feel like people would be down for it. I don't know. I guess we'd have to talk to somebody who went there. If you went to the Van meetup, let us know. And
like, it was super unofficial. He just like put a tweet out there, like on the day of, I think.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. That could have been a good time. Maybe you should have gone, Pop.
Yeah.
I think, looking at this bracket, I think my championship might actually be Van versus Russillo. So literally yesterday's life advice.
That's funny. Very strong. You know, this, and I mentioned this briefly before, and I know no one will agree with me, and this is just my own biases, but I'm a huge Waz guy. I would have loved to see him get further than he did. But I know he's polarizing and a lot of people don't like him, but that's my guy. Like, I've been listening to him since like 2000, like 15, 16 ish.
Yeah. Yeah. Waz is funny. I definitely agree with you. I think he gets kind of a bad rap on stuff for the most part.
Like, he was literally like, he got his start as like a call in guy on Amin Al-Hassan's like NBA After Dark show on ESPN, which he called out Simmons and Grantland for naming their podcast exactly what his was named, like after the fact.
Yeah, it seems like when people rag on him, they make fun of the fact that he laughs so much. It's like, okay, so he's a good time.
Okay. Yeah, like I kind of see him as like the black Chris Ryan. Like, he can kind of talk on any subject. He has good chemistry with anyone. Like, he could just wax poetic on any topic. But anyway, that's just my own personal like. I don't expect anyone to agree with me there with him getting that far. That would be mine.
Yeah, people in the sub don't seem to like him because they think he's laughing too much at Bill's jokes.
Yeah, I don't know. I know guys like that. And it's not an ask hissy thing. It's just some people just laugh. Some people just like to laugh and have a big laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And Bill can't be funny. I mean, Bill.
Yeah, Bill's funny.
Bill's funny in the sense of he definitely has some unintentional humor too. So, yes. So he has a mix of both.
He's conversationally funny. If he tries to be funny, which is part of the reason why I think his TV show failed, he doesn't have it. Like, he's not a joke writer. He's not, I mean, I don't know what he did on Jimmy Kimmel, but I don't think he has that skill set. But conversationally, he knows how to keep like conversations humorous and light and funny. You know, he works well with people in that regard, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then when he says things like, I'm not going to be Homer about the Celtics, but
yeah, that's a whole other thing.
And you can just laugh at him. All right, yeah. So that was interesting. I definitely feel like Bill's. Okay, so then let me think about this then. So okay, Bill is taking a 6-week break from his podcast, but yet he is still doing the Rewatchables podcast. Had Eyes Wide Shut just recently, and he does a live Rewatchable show, as opposed to has he ever done a live BS pod? So Bill Simmons is kind of like he's almost like cheating on the main BS pod. The Rewatchables pod, like what's going on here? Well, you have Bill Simmons podcast, but yet, like, do you like the Rewatchables mistress more?
Well, Tribe, not to be like that guy, but the Eyes Wide Shut was a re-air from the 1999 Rewatchables that were on Luminary. Like, I guess Spotify has the rights to those back, so he's gonna be putting those out from however many years back you did those.
I thought some of the other ones that he's put out recently were like pre-recorded before the break too. So. I mean, yeah, I guess that leads to the another question. I'm like, why doesn't Bill then pre-record some pods for himself? But I guess maybe he needs to be more up to date and, you know, talking about relevant things within the NBA and pop culture. It's harder to, you know, pre-record that. But I don't know.
Yeah. What is your assessment of him taking a 6-week break?
I think it's fantastic. Good for him.
Yeah, there's other podcasts I can listen to right now. It's not the end of the world.
Recharge those batteries. You're in your 50s. Like, help your daughter get ready for college. You know, spend some quality time with her before she moves across the country. You know, I'm as someone closer to his age than you guys are with kids. Like, yes, take the time off, recharge, spend time with your family, whatever.
Good. Also, on top of that, adding to your point, Pop, like what do you really want Bill to talk about right now? You know, it's kind of like that point in time in the sports calendar, right?
Yeah, it's fine. I wish that was more normalized, like taking 6-week vacations that everyone just took. Like, I wish we were more like Europe, and that might be part of it too. Spotify might have that baked in. Might be that European kind of sensibility. I don't know.
Good point.
Yeah, I'm thinking that he has a set number of pods that he has to do a year. And so he just does 3 of them often, and then the 3 a week often, and maybe he has to do 2.5 a week, and so he can take 6 weeks off.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of the break, he did come back for that one episode, and I got to say, I fucking love this episode. I didn't listen to the G League one interview, but I loved Bill on the World Cup and then the Zoe interview, which we'll get to in a second. Have some questions about that one, but what was so great about Bill coming on is like this dude came in hot on so many different subjects because he hadn't been able to talk about them in weeks in the pod. So like this is one of the rare times you're gonna have a Bill Simmons like this coming in ready to give his takes on all these subjects, and I just thought it was fantastic. I'm not usually a big fan of Bill doing the monologues to start the podcast. I think I'd rather have him kind of vibe with the guest, but not so for this one. Like if Bill does this whenever he does a break, he just comes in with some spicy takes, I'm in for it.
You know, you saying that, Tribe, raises a good point with what we were talking about before, like how long is Bill gonna go. I wouldn't be surprised if he cuts down to 1 or 2 pods a week in the not too distant future.
When are you talking about? This is the pod he did with Zoe. Is that what you're talking about right now? That I can't say I caught that one. I only listened to the expansion draft one.
Oh, you did? Okay. So then,
did we get our wires crossed? I listened to the one you didn't. And you listened to the one I didn't.
How was the expansion one? That got mixed reviews on Twitter and on the sub.
That was insane. I mean, as someone who, like, I love the NBA, it was basically like it wasn't so as much of an expansion draft. It was like a 10th and 12th man draft.
I thought it was fun. Yeah.
I thought it was fun too. It was so weird though. I mean, you might as well just say like, hey, like if rosters have 12 people, let's just talk about the 10th, 11th and 12th guys on every team.
When Bill like reluctantly somewhat reluctantly drafted Ben Simmons to his team, I fucking lost it. I was like, this is great.
That's funny. I mean, did you guys know all of the players that they were talking about?
Absolutely not.
I did, but I'm an NBA freak, though. So, but that's, yeah, I'm, trust me, that's not a brag, like, but I do.
That's true.
What, so what was, so I know that there were some interesting quotes from the Zoe pod.
yeah, so let me do this. Let's, for people, let's discuss that, and then we'll get into the mailbag section of the podcast. So, okay. So this, I mean, so the Zoe quote, I can link it under this tweet of the podcast for anyone that's interested, but the general gist is that Zoe is joking about hooking up with Jason Tatum and saying that now that she's 18, she can hang out with Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
And Bill and her are laughing hysterically about it in the pod.
I thought it was great. I think that I mean, not to get too parasocial, if that's the word, but I think that speaks really highly on their relationship. I think that's a really good indicator of where they're at, that they could joke about that kind of thing openly. I don't know. I thought it was charming.
I mean, I did too. I thought, like, I enjoyed that. That was funny. I laughed at it, of course. And it was funny because Bill has joked about that previously without Zoe. I think I forget who he joked about it to. I think it was Cousin Sal in a parent corner. It was like a parent corner from a season or two ago, joking about her getting with Tatum. And now, like father, like daughter, she comes and has the joke. And they're kind of, you know, I think you're right, Pop, because it's like a joke about the Celtics. It's a joke about her growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's budding sexuality with a 18-year-old going off to college. If you can joke about that, that's probably better than not doing anything about it at all. So
I think it's very healthy. And, like, you know, and just it's so much better than that old dad trope of, like, you know, where dads try to, like, own their daughter's sexuality with, like, you know, them like cleaning their guns and trying to intimidate the boyfriends. Like, this is so much healthier than that.
Okay, so Pop, now let's do this. So we get a mailbag question rolling in that goes, how did the sports gal feel about the Zoe Tatum comment?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just answer my question from a dad's perspective. I don't have daughters. I have two boys, but I don't know. I feel like that's the dynamic of the family, that they joke about that kind of thing. I don't think that's exclusively a Bill and Zoe thing. I mean, I have no way of knowing this, but I kind of get the impression that that's just kind of the way they talk in that house.
Yeah, when your dad kind of makes his name writing about what he wrote about, I feel like that is almost an eventuality.
They probably tease him about Sydney Sweeney. As weird as that is.
Yeah, do you guys think that Zoe and Ben have read some of Bill's old columns?
Without a doubt.
You think so?
Absolutely. You wouldn't?
I mean, I would, but I also didn't, you know, grow up with like a million things at my fingertips to keep me entertained.
Well, okay. I don't think that these, you know, Zoe and Ben are probably out like reading every single piece of content that their dad made. But, you know, if their dad is a famous writer, I bet they were bound to at least went back and looked at an article or two.
Yeah, I would think so too. But the way he might be playing up to be like humble, but the way he talks about it, they have zero interest in him or his career.
Yeah,
I don't know. Your point's valid though. You're probably right.
Well, and here's the other thing. I almost wonder too if they maybe didn't willingly read some of the dad's work.
Yes, that's a great point. I think that's probably more likely. They see stuff going viral. They see Tribe tweeting this stuff out.
Yeah.
I know. What if I'm the one that is getting Simmons family members reading this stuff?
I mean, that is a very distinct possibility. I'm not even trying to blow air up your ass. Like, that is a very distinct possibility.
Well, Bill said that when, after he became the meme, didn't he have some comment about, like, yeah, like, now my kids actually know what I'm doing because I've turned into a meme.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah, he definitely said that.
Wait, what? The, I don't know. I'm not sad, familiar with this conversation.
The sad Bill Simmons face, that's the picture on the sub now. At the
Celtics game. Okay.
And I guess what was happening was classmates of Zoe and Ben were coming up to them being like, oh, your dad's a meme now. And the kids probably go, how do you know that? He's like, oh, Bill Simmons, the podcast. I love him. And then Bill's like, yeah, now they know him. They know I'm a huge podcaster now.
Yeah. Totally. I think, you know, there might be a better chance of friends of them, like not just strangers on the internet, but friends of Ben and Zoe read stuff and clue them in on it, you know? Because, like, you know, you're like, oh, your dad's famous. Although they go to school with a lot of famous people, so they might not be as, like, into it. But I know if I had a friend who had a famous parent, like, I'd be all about it, like, looking stuff up. And, you know, I'd be curious.
Well, it's kind of what we think Bill does with the subreddit, right? We think that – I think the general consensus is that Bill is not on the sub because that's not mentally healthy.
Yes.
And he probably shouldn't be reading that. No. But that some people will send him funny stuff from the sub occasionally.
I think that's right.
If so I he will be okay David reading it, but he won't be. Yeah. All right. So next mailbag question. We only have two, but for anyone listening who wants to send in a mailbag question, just send it in now, and we can get it to you in a later podcast. But the question is, set the over under on Bill's lifetime sexual partners. Now this has been discussed in the subreddit before. 6 months ago, someone did this. Bob Weir, you responded. Tribe, myself responded. Pop, did you respond to this?
I can't remember, but I have an answer. But I don't remember if I responded back then.
Whether or not Pop replied in that actual thread, we had a pretty robust discussion about it in our fantasy chat. Like that same day, and I remember Pop talking about it then.
Yeah, so we talked about our own body counts in that thread.
We'll have more of that fantasy chat later if you guys are interested. So then, Pop, why don't you go first, and then me and Bob can look at what we wrote and then see if we still agree with the...
Well, unless he's lying. Like, he talks about a lot of different ex-girlfriends or girls he dated. And granted, this was during the time when he was in college, and he's talked about this, when everyone was scared of getting AIDS and everything. And that's when all, like, even in movies, like female actresses were wearing like baggy sweaters. But I think he's like probably between like 10 and 20. That's my opinion.
All right, yeah. Bob.
I think in that thread that you referenced, Tribe, I think I split that, and I said,
good.
I think I said the over under is 15.5.
Yep. Yeah, I'd agree. I that was kind of a cop out on my part, saying between 10 and 20. But yeah,
do you want to read that, Bob, or I have it up if you want me to read it?
Go ahead and read it. I remember the gist of what I said. I don't remember specifically.
Okay, so this is you, Bob Weir's hot legs from 6 months ago. All right, so the comments were lower than this, but you said. Most of the comments are severely underestimating Bill, right? He's tall, he's decently attractive, was single for a while before getting married, was a bartender. I think you have to set Bill's at 15.5. People are severely underestimating Bill's pullability of a bartender. And then you had a hot take. Bill's number is going to be higher than Ryan's, mostly because Bill, at his apex mountain, is probably more attractive to the median female than Ryan.
So I stand by that. I think that in their younger days, Bill was a more handsome person than Ryan. But as I thought about it more, just by the sheer fact that Bill's been married for 20 years now, I just don't think his number can be higher than Ryan's.
No, it can't be. Especially, yeah. Like, Russillo's out there traveling to foreign lands, like, probably getting a lot of strange. There's no way.
But I do wonder how much is that guy really getting, though.
Well, to the Bill point, he definitely didn't lose his virginity till after high school. I'm almost certain on that.
Agreed.
Well, I mean, he went to an all boys school, right? So you never know.
So did I.
Yeah, so now we are learning about the podcast guests as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So Bob, I responded to you in that thread. I said, wow, that's a scorcher. I mean, here's the thing. When Bill tells us tales of his bartending days, it was him going to smoke a giant bong and to pretend like the 86 Celtics finals games were live. Where are Bill's chick stories? If he had them, he'd surely share them, no? I mean, he talks Vegas and porn like the back of his hand. So I feel like that's reasonable. Where are Bill Simmons' chick stories?
I don't know. I just feel like once you get married, you kind of retire those for the most part. I don't really talk about that.
He said he pulled the goalie on his wife in his book of basketball.
Yeah, but that was his wife.
Yeah.
I know. That's weird.
What's
that story he had? He was at a Super Bowl party, and was it Katie Holmes that he had a moment with, and for a second he thought he had a chance? What was – do you know what I'm talking about? It was a brunette. Was it Katie Holmes or was it Jennifer Garner?
Oh, okay. I don't know the exact story specifically, but I do know that there is a Bill Katie Holmes fascination, I think, or it originated for something like that. So,
yeah, and but that doesn't really make sense because he would have been with his wife at that moment. Maybe he said, if I wasn't married or something, but he definitely said something about that at one point, a Super Bowl party. He had an interaction with somebody and, you know, kind of like Ryan's Meghan Markle thing, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And Bill and Bob, to your point, you did say, speaking as a married man myself, the chick stories die very quickly once you get beat up. All right, so that makes sense. Now,
you know, that's funny, Bob. So you don't tell your wife anything?
No. I mean, she knows that there are... Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, my wife begs me for stories, but I refuse. It's weird.
Yeah, no, me and my wife are definitely on a, you know, we don't ask each other any questions about before.
Interesting, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we got... So Pop and Bob, we are both around 15.5. Here is the tribe entry, which I think I also stand by, but I'll confirm it. So this is what I said in this. I said, let's use some evidence for the sports guy. And now I can die in peace in the book of basketball. He constantly complains about how girls, quote, weren't putting out during the AIDS epidemic.
Yeah.
He went to college in the wrong decade, and now it would be much easier to get laid. And that he would go to a warmer college because at Holy Cross, quote, you couldn't tell what they looked like within 30 pounds given their coats. And I checked, that was a real quote in the book. Also, I believe he has claimed that the sports gal was intended as a running joke for each of his new girlfriends, but it ended with the one he ended up marrying. Finally, Bill nerded out big time and wasn't athletic, but was intelligent and witty from the pictures of the sports gal he did well. Sports gal is attractive. So I say, let's go with Bill having one partner in high school, two in college, two in his post-college days in the sports gal. That's six. Call it 5.5. And the over is minus 115. I'll take one for plus 750. I guess I was hating on Bill.
Wait, you said one?
I said I'll take one for plus 750.
Oh my god!
you want those odds?
Yeah, that's funny. Sure. Like, well, a lot of guys Bill's age complain about they grew up in like what are they like? Corolla says it too. It's the post-Coke, pre-AIDS, or what was it? Post-Coke, pre-AIDS? I can't remember, but where they were just in the bad era. Where, like, it was after they realized Coke was bad for you, and, well, everyone was scared of AIDS.
It is funny how, apparently, in that quote that Tribe said, it was because, you know, people weren't putting out. While now, when he talks about it, I feel like it's, I was a little, you know, too anxious about, you know, having too many partners back then. It's his choice that was the case.
I'm sorry. Bill was born in 69, so he nice. Was in yeah, nice. he was in college, what, like 80, he was a freshman probably like 88? Am I doing that right? 87, 88?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know.
He would have left Holy Cross, I think, in the early 90s, right?
Yeah, that's tough. That's a wrinkle where I don't have a full understanding of. I don't know what it was like back then.
Well, I'm sure that was the mechanism for any lack of action he got. It's just, I think it's funny that now it was his choice, not theirs.
Yeah, we all do that, right? Like I always blame my issues on 4 years of all boys school. I didn't know how to talk to girls, so we all have our little things we fall back on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and so here's a. An angle for Bill in the mid 90s. So I talked about this with the guest that we had on the 4 hour deep dive of Bill's career. And I thought he made a good point that you're looking at Bill, and it's pretty incredible this the sports gal actually married this guy that was a bartender and then had a column on a website when the internet was barely a thing. But so you think about Bill, okay, so he's graduated college, he does the post-grad year, I think, at Boston University, so that could have been a time for some escapades there. But then he's working, you know, an okay newspaper job, and then quits to be a bartender slash maybe a server. I'm not sure we totally know. I think in one of his books he might have implied that maybe he was more at like a restaurant. So like for all we know, he was a server at Applebee's that they are occasionally, and Bill just played with the bartending angle. So if that's the case, maybe he's not getting as much as people think. But like I guess there's, because people in that, and I think maybe you said this, Bob, too, but some people in that commentary are like, yeah, as a bartender, he was probably doing pretty well for himself. But part of that is like how you carry yourself as a bartender, too. Is it a guarantee that a bartender is doing that great? He was also only a bartender for like 6 months, and most of the 3 years he was full-time. Okay, yeah, so this is my point. Most of that time in the 90s, he's literally just working in his apartment all day doing the writing and then watching TV and watching movies at 3 a.m. Is he having much of a social life at that point? Obviously, it got him incredibly far. He's richer than anyone you know, here is probably ever going to be times a ton. But he wasn't having much of a life at that point, potentially.
He went on a date with Maura Tierney's sister, remember? He just revealed that recently.
I don't know who that is.
It's an actress. Look her up. Hold on, let me find her, because this was mentioned on the rewatchables.
There. See, this is why we needed to have you on the pod, because
he dated Deirdre Tierney.
Oh, this girl. I know who she is.
Deirdre Tierney?
Yeah. He went out. At least he took her to like a Celtics game, and she didn't know anything like about it. Like, and he knew that was a bad sign. I think they just had one date. But he went on a date with Maura Tierney's sister, Deirdre.
Do you think the sports gal is kind of a sports fan?
No, I don't think she'd watch sports on her own, but I think she kind of sits down and hangs out with Bill and watches a little bit here and there.
Okay. That's
which, you know, this just reminds me, I think Tribe, you probably know this, but you know Adam Carolla lost his virginity to Molly Ringwald's sister?
No, I don't think I did know that.
Yeah, like he was Molly Ringwald's neighbor growing up. Both her parents are deaf, apparently. But anyway.
Wow.
That's funny. I think, all right, so when I think about that take that I had on the sub like months ago or whatever, I do think if I were to throw that one back in the oven and bake it a little bit longer, I think it's not that Bill's number is higher, his body count is higher, it's that that's a higher average when he makes his moves than Russillo. That's my prediction, I think. Just because I think Bill is, and I remember when whenever that thread was active that day, I showed my wife a picture of young Russillo and young Bill, and it was a very easy decision for her. She said, "It's definitely young Bill."
Yeah, I've mentioned to you guys before, probably even on the pod, I saw Bill in the wild once, and he's a lot taller than you'd think. Even though he says he's like 6'2", like it's striking how tall he is.
Yeah, because he's kind of like
piece is very, yes, that cannot go overlooked.
Yeah, because he doesn't sound tall. He sounds like he's like 5'9", like on the pod, just his voice, the way he carries himself. And you, in person, he's so thin, though. Like, he looked like a candied apple because he has this big head and he has this little skinny body. But he's tall. He's like legitimately tall.
I will say this as a fellow tall person, it definitely helps. I don't have much else going for me, but that helps.
Yeah, and as a short person, yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't help.
Now, can I say in this thread, so Tribe has spoke, not always the most popular name on the subreddit. I got 19 upvotes for this, so not bad. And then the OP of the thread said, "Great analysis, Bill Simmons sex scholar right here." So
you should flare up that.
But no, for everybody listening, let us know what you think the over-under should be set at. Definitely the person that asked this question. But comment in either the podcast thread or on Twitter what you think it is. So I'm 5.5. you guys are 15 and a half. Maybe the right one is like 9.5. Maybe that would be it.
Yeah, I think I'm more 10.5. Like, Tribe, you kind of convinced me of some things.
I mean, think look,
it's closer to 10 than 20. Let's put it that way.
Bill Simmons, if you're listening, the invitation is open. Come on the podcast and discuss. We'd love to have you.
Oh, okay. You know, for a second, I was like, the invitation is open for what?
you know who has a really high one, though, is House.
Yeah, you think so?
A baller.
Yeah, Bill's even mentioned before, like, about House's, like, crazy girlfriends, like, in college. Like, offhanded. Like, House is a very good-looking guy. And we've even seen young pictures of him. And he's not just someone that aged into his looks, either. He was good-looking as a young man, too.
Every time I see House, I just think of you now, Pop, because of your...
Oh, I know, because that's my avatar. Yeah, someone brought up on the sub asking if he was part Asian. I was like, yeah, that's a good question. He definitely has that maybe part Asian, part Native American look to him.
Yeah, I can see it.
Oh, okay, open invitation to House. Come on the pod and discuss your ancestry.
Yeah, what kind of name is House? Is that German? They just spelled it like... Yeah.
That is a bizarre last name, House. It's not common. Maybe Eddie House was on the Celtics
one. Oh, yeah, Eddie House. There you go.
Daniel House,
yeah.
House is of Middle English origin.
Okay. He's the only white house.
Nice.
It's like how there's no white Washingtons. Like George and Martha are the only ones.
Yeah.
Wonky. All right, let's do this then. Should we get a little R. Bill Simmons check-in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy to.
So what's been the vibe of the sub, in your opinion, since Bill's been on his break?
Pop, I'll let you go first on this one.
It's been weird. There's been, like, the anti-NBA guy just recently came back. He'd been gone for a while. Yeah. Gus has been gone, another kind of mainstay of the sub. I don't know. There's been some good days. Then there's been like 3 or 4 days where it just feels kind of dead and lame, just kind of lame memes that go nowhere. And I don't know. I don't have a great feel for it. What do you guys think?
It does seem like it has not been nearly as active. There's usually, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one who I wake up in the morning and kind of start my day when I sit down at the computer. I'll check Reddit before I really start to do work. Mm-hmm. And so many times now I'll check and, you know, usually someone will have started a thread in the last hour or so. But there have been a lot of times where I check and nobody started a thread in 15 hours. I'm like, oh, wow. So I think it is starting to die a little bit. But in that sense, I'm sure once Bill comes back, it'll liven up again. But I do think, interestingly, people have not been at each other's throats as much. It does seem like people are fairly congenial. You know, and I say this, you know, I took a 2-month break while I tried to figure out if I could resuscitate Bob Weir, the name. And I feel like ever since I came back, that people just haven't been nearly as argumentative. I don't know if it's because the NBA season's over and people aren't as passionate about things anymore or what. Or maybe I'm just making that up.
No, so you are 100% correct. I have noticed the same thing. And the stats are actually out there. If you go to subredditstats.com, you can see the posts and the comments per day. So there is a drastic drop off in comments per day now. We're at levels that we have not seen since mid-2020.
Really?
Yeah, we're at 100 comments a day now, 100 to 200, last early 2020, and even before that. So, and that was when the sub, I'm looking at it right now, that was when the sub had 13,000 members. It's now 47,000. So massive drop-off in activity. And then also, I'll do the post activity. Posts have basically been maybe 40 to 60 range per day over the course of 2023. We've been rocking 10 to 20.
Oh, wow.
Weeks. So the Bill Simmons is taking a BS pod break. People are taking an R. Bill Simmons break too.
Yeah. I mean, now's as good of a time as any, right?
Yeah, I mean, summer's just a, I think, kind of a downtime for everyone. I mean, this is why in the olden days, you know, TV just ran reruns during the summer. I think it's just kind of the natural order of things.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to throw a few posts here and there about the pod, but people still have not taken an inkling to that. But who knows?
There's been a couple fun polls on the pod recently, like the presidential one about whether they could dunk. That was a lot of fun. That was a fun one.
That was good.
Yeah, there's a lot of good discourse on there. That's like the exact type of stuff like I love on the sub, like weird stuff that isn't necessarily related to Bill Simmons, but it's in the spirit of Bill Simmons. Like, it's something that him and Chuck would definitely have, like, could have an hour-long podcast just talking about. And I appreciate that, where you're able to, like, you know, kind of manifest the spirit of it rather than just a literal translation of, like, this is what Bill said, you know?
What did you say? How many presidents do you think you could dunk?
I said zero.
Zero? You
think yeah. Zero? Yeah, because the tallest president, there's like four presidents that are like between like 6'2 and 6'4, I think. And like, for example, just for a personal anecdote, my dad is 6'4, played college football, played rugby, could not dunk. So, and he wasn't fat. So I like, and I knew a guy in college that was 6'8 who couldn't dunk. So I think just because you're tall doesn't mean you could dunk.
But the flip side is that it's just because you're short doesn't mean you can't dunk. Right?
If you're white, it does.
I don't know. I just feel like if you have a room full of 45 people in their late 20s, chances are about one of them could dunk.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I wouldn't go much higher than that. That's a good over-under.
Yeah, fair.
Okay, now let me challenge you with this though. There's so few dunks in the WNBA.
Yes,
and they're very now they're women, but they're extremely athletic women, and they're tall.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still not dunking.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing. Like, if it's hard to say though, because nowadays if you're like a 6'4 white guy and played basketball and you could dunk, you're playing college basketball probably.
At least. I was a 6'4 white guy in my mid-20s that could dunk, and I didn't come close to playing college basketball.
Okay, well, fair enough then. I was just going to say that most of these presidents, like, basketball wasn't even, like, around, so it's hard to, like, really judge that. So, okay, fair enough.
All right, so here's the post that I absolutely loved, even though it turned out probably not to be totally accurate. The Rewatchables live show Awkward Tension. Did you guys
remember? Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was fantastic. Yeah, so for the listeners who haven't read this, basically somebody said that they went to the Rewatchables live show, and there was significant tension after Chris Ryan made several Jaylen Brown jokes on the podcast, on the live show. And then it turned out that, okay, so I'm laughing because I think it might have been impacted by the post. So this post goes crazy, 423 upvotes, 186 comments, you know, people, a hilarious comment that CR crossed the line. You don't get that personal during a live show. You could have easily cracked a joke about Bill's kids instead. So people were actually digging this. Now, about a couple days later, the Ringer account puts out the video of that moment. So I'm wondering if somebody at the Ringer is reading the sub and they're like, we gotta set the record straight here. We gotta get this video out to let people know there was not awkward tension.
The people who are in charge of making those videos are 100% reading the sub. The lower level you are on the Ringer's masthead, the more likely you are to be reading those videos. And it's a low-rung people putting that out there. So, yes, it's like their job to be, like, on top of that. So I think that's very high possibility.
That's true. Oh, briefly, so I checked this. As we're recording, one of the followers of the R. Bill Simmons podcast on Twitter, he responds to the comment about the mailbag question, the over-under. This guy says 23.5.
Wow.
Might have to bring this guy on a future episode to explain his rationale.
That's a high number.
I will slap the under pretty hard on that one.
That's very high. Damn. yeah, I don't know about that one, man. We'll see though. We'll bring this guy on. I have messaged this guy before, so we'll bring this guy on.
Okay.
All right. So that was fun. So a lot of Sydney Sweeney posts. She's been popular lately. That's been fun. I mean, I kind of think Sydney Sweeney's having a moment here. I mean, like, she is the it girl, I think, at this point. I think she's replaced anybody who was going for that spot. Like, I don't know if she's market corrected Jennifer Lawrence, but she's taken over the Jennifer Lawrence spot potentially.
Well, I mean, Jennifer Lawrence was like won an Oscar, was nominated for like multiple others. So I don't know. We need to see what her movie career is like. And I know it's a different time. Not as many movies are being made. And she is going to be like, isn't she going to be the lead of that Spider-Woman movie coming out? But well, yet to be seen. But did you guys watch Euphoria?
Yeah, I did.
She's hilarious. She's like legitimately like could be a great comedic actress, I think. She is so funny.
Well, I thought she was hilarious in White Lotus also.
She's not just like, she's not Jennifer Love Hewitt. Like, I think she has chops.
Yeah. And also, like, I don't know, the movie itself wasn't great. I don't know if you saw The Voyeurs. I know
I did. Let's
do Voyeurs jokes.
I've seen clips.
A couple minutes of The Voyeurs.
Yeah, me too. Or maybe multiple times.
Oh, no.
I've seen 30 seconds of it multiple times. So maybe the length of the movie at this point.
Oh, that's funny. But I feel like she did a pretty good job in that movie, is what I was going to say.
You think so?
It was a brave performance. Generous.
It was very moving.
Yeah. Did you watch that HBO one? I didn't watch that one. Where she's like, they have her like no makeup. She's kind of frumpy looking.
Not Euphoria, different one than Euphoria?
No, it's a movie on HBO Max.
A movie? I don't know if I saw that one, no.
Yeah, I forgot what it's called. But Bill watched it. He mentioned it. Let's see here.
Americana?
No, Reality.
Reality. No, I did not see that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
She's still an NSA whistleblower.
It still cracks me up how someone on the sub brought up that she looks like Michael K. Williams, because they're totally right. Wait, is that his name, Michael K. Williams, the guy that played Omar?
Yeah.
Or am I getting him confused? Is that Bubba from Forrest Gump, Michael K. Williams? I'm getting confused.
Michael K. Williams is from The Wire.
Okay, good. Okay, that's who it is. She looks like Omar. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got additional context. I as you guys were talking, I invited this guy on the pod. He wants to come on the pod eventually, but he didn't want to come on tonight. So this is his rationale. He used to work as a bartender, so the number could be high. Though he's probably too in his head and too, quote, talkative, girls have probably told him shut up and just fuck him multiple times in his life.
Wow.
So you want to get parasocial. All right, we're going through the parasocial wormhole here. I mean,
yeah. This is pretty pathetic, but I'm all about it.
Bill's like behind the bar pouring drinks, and just girls walk up to the bar and they're like, quit pouring and just get on me, dude.
This guy says his initial number was 29.5. Dude, I mean, at 30, yeah, that's I need a little bit more of a personality and attractiveness level to get to hear 30. You know, and really, the stick finger, like, there's photos of him in college. He looks very childish and skinny. And I'm not saying, like, that was his look all in life. I think he's above average attractiveness level, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. I think so, too. But have you noticed, like, in his early ESPN days, he was kind of chubby. He's a little doughy.
That's right, yeah. I actually thought there's some photos of him probably in, like, his late 20s. That he did for Digital City Boston, he looks pretty good in those. Like he's still got a full head of hair, no gray. has a little bit of 5 o'clock shadow. It's looking good.
Yeah, no, he's a good looking guy.
Yeah, he's definitely handsome. He's a handsome guy for sure.
Yeah, he's doing okay. Like, he's more blessed than most of the populace.
There's a reason that someone gave him a TV show.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a reason why ESPN was so reticent to put Russillo on TV.
Yeah.
All right. So this is this guy again messages me. He says, see, this is where Bill Simmons' history comes into play. He says, don't forget working at Kimmel Show and all those Vegas trips. Working at Kimmel Show, he was with the sports gal.
So he's already married, yeah.
That is – so this guy – that nope, not feeling that at all. Not
and, that. And his Vegas trips, he never talks about, I don't think, going to clubs or anything. He was strictly gambling, it sounds like.
Yeah, I don't know. Anytime I've gone on like a boys trip, it's not been – you know, you end up like, you know, barely able to stand up by the end of the night, let alone like sway a good-looking woman. Like it's – I don't think those types of environments are really conducive to racking up the body count.
Do you think he ever dabbled in working girls while in Vegas? Because they, if I used to go to Vegas like twice a year, and like they were like all over the place, and they are not shy about coming up and talking to like young 20-year-old guys.
Yeah, probably. Well, it's probably less by his choice, more that he fell for it.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I have to admit, it would always take me a few seconds to realize what was going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think that when you think about it that way, I think, yes, almost definitely. I don't think he was someone that went out and looked for it, but
no,
it might have.
It found you. If you were out late enough, like they came out of the woodwork, they'd start walking around, they'd start talking to you, like they'd hang out by the elevators. Like I experienced that many times.
Yeah.
I think who knows? I guess if it was embarrassing for Bill, he wouldn't mention it. But he might talk about that a little bit. He does talk about – he clearly had some sort of experience in a strip club, because he talks about that analogy of the mediocre Asian with fake cans who somebody finally settles for a lap dance at the end of the night. But in the meantime, you make a chair a barrier between you and the chick so that you don't get with them. Like,
that's so oddly specific.
Yeah, so there's clearly some like specific strip club experience he had with that, but
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, 29.5, that's too much, but yeah. All right, so let's do this. Anything else in the sub, or should we go to the final topic here?
Let's go to the final topic.
Yeah.
All right, so final topic, and this goes back all the way to episode one. So hopefully you've been listening since episode one, but if not, we can give you the refresher. So the ultimate reason why this podcast was started in the first place was not even really to have the podcast. It was to recruit people for a fantasy football league, which we're doing again. So we have a fantasy football league made up of people from R. Bill Simmons and the community. We would extend that to the Twitter community as well. We have most spots filled, but we have a couple spots left open that we are inviting you, the listener, to participate in. If you like this podcast, you like the guys, Bob and Pop and me, Tribe, are all in the league, as well as some other guests in the pod from over the time. If you are interested in this, let us know. Send the R. Bill Simmons podcast a direct message. A couple things before I'll let you guys hop in. It is a super flex league. So we did this in the spirit of Bill Simmons. And this is the first super flex league that I've played in. I fucking loved it. I think everybody else did. It's a great time. It's a nice way to mix it up. And there is a very active group chat. So if you like the R. Bill Simmons subreddit, if you like the podcast and the Twitter account of the podcast, we have a lot of that going on in a group chat. So come along and join for the fantasy, but join for the camaraderie of Bill Simmons heads just talking Simmons sports or whatever. So, yeah, what else did I miss there, Pop and Bob?
There is a buy-in for this league. We are thinking of hopefully doing something, you know, nothing crazy, but something in the $25 to $50 range. But additionally, that means that if you win, there's a pretty nice purse that I don't know if you want to comment on that at all, Tribe, or winner last year. But yeah, if you come play in our league, there's a chance you could, you know, buy drinks, buy a round for the boys on next week, the weekend afterwards or something. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah, you say the camaraderie. I mean, this is going to sound corny and maybe kind of pathetic, but I've kind of liked getting to know you guys and talking off the sub a little. It's been cool. I don't mind it at all. I think it's been a lot of fun and, you know, and we don't even know each other's real names. Like, it's almost like an extension of the sub, like our little group chat, like on the league page. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Just dudes talking about dude stuff, throwing down.
To piggyback off of like what Pop said, yeah, I mean, I agree. I definitely see all those, even though I don't know your names, I definitely see all those friends now, you know? So it's...
Yeah, I refer to you guys, to my wife, as my like weird internet friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you could get over the absurdity of it, it's like, because what I always say is people are spending so much time in the subreddit anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a fun place. It's like-minded people that are Bill Simmons fans, have something in common, but it's basically a meeting place to talk about sports media, movies, podcasts. So yeah, what we have in the league is sort of a more refined chat with that, with less people, but people that you talk with a lot, and it's fun. And like, if you are someone that's if you were listening to a three-man weave of an Arville Simmons podcast 90 minutes in, then this league will be for you. So like, yeah, if you've made it to this point you don't have a fantasy league this year, or you want to play in one more, let us know and we'll definitely have you in, and it'll be fun.
Yeah, it's like if the sub got distilled down to 12 people.
Yep.
Exactly.
And it's within that, we have a nice range of personalities too. I think it's not,
say the least, have
12 of the same person by any means.
Well, I mean, we're probably all like, we're all pretty much like white dudes between the ages of like 30 and 40, but yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good. I meant a wide range of people within the sub, but yes, that's,
you live in different states.
We are very not diverse in that sense.
We are all kind of the same person, but we're all very different too.
That's great. I mean, hey, look, anybody, if you are not white, you're also welcome.
Sure, yeah, please.
Just have to actually, cut down all the races. I don't know Jelly Beans over Raw's race.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, there's a few people the sub that don't really participate, or in our league that don't really participate in the group chat, and that's fine too.
That's, yeah, you, A-okay. Yeah, you don't have to like be on it all the time. So
no, not just, by all means. Just
check in when there's funny moments to discuss.
Yeah, we have a downtime at work, and you know, like for example, like me and Bob, we decided to read a book together, although we kind of messed that up. But we still are reading the same book, and we're going to talk about it at some point. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a little mini book club.
Exactly. Oh, what was it against? There's gonna be something else I was gonna say to that. Damn it, I had it and I lost it. it's a good group though. Oh, that's what I was gonna say. So if people want to join, should they message you on Reddit, Tribe, or on Twitter, the Arville Simmons account?
Yeah, message me. I would even say because there's a couple spots open, and if you want to guarantee yourself in it, like yeah, message me on both if you want to. But yeah, message me either on Tribe Has Spoken on Reddit, the Arville Simmons podcast. And then, yeah, I mean, I think, look, if I know you and I've DM'd with you before, then probably, you know, you're have a pretty good shot, right? Because we know each other. And I can vouch for you with these guys too. If you're somebody that's on the sub that all of us would know, then that's great too. And then just in general, I mean, it's pretty like the three of us getting to, I mean, I guess I'm kind of known in the sub, but yeah, no, I guess all of us are kind of known in the sub. So kind of we are three of the more active well, when you were Bob Weir, but we're three of the more active people on the sub. So I guess us made sense. But yeah, like if you're active on the sub, certainly. And if you want to play, like you get in on this 100%.
All bets. Yeah. We're talking to you.
I'm trying to get him on the pod. I want him to come on, but he's avoiding us. I don't know what's going on.
It's okay. It's a big step to, if you've never podcasted before or done something like this, it can be intimidating. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
That's true.
Well, take a step and join our fantasy league, Obets, and then we'll cross that bridge later.
Yeah. All right, so any closing words here, either on the fantasy league or on the pod in general?
I don't think so. I'm just fucking stoked for some more fantasy football. I'll say that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm stoked to defend my crown.
And yeah,
I think you will.
And our draft is tentatively scheduled for the 28th?
Yes, 2 weeks.
Oh, and just for posterity's sake, I was in the championship with Tribe and had one of the worst weeks of the whole season, and he beat me like over 100 points, I think. So, you know, so you have two like people that were, you know, went pretty far.
Right, and you guys both ended up with money in the end, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So we got a couple weeks left. So everybody out there, message me. We'll do it. And yeah, with that. Gents, wonderful time as always. Glad we did this three-man weave. And I think, probably see you around the sub and on the group chat.
Right on.
Good job by you.
See you, Tribe.
All right. See you guys.